Good morning. I am Commissioner Kristen Eng, Port of Tacoma President, calling to order a regular meeting of the Port of Tacoma Commission on March 19th, 2024. The time is now 10 a.m. Also present are Commissioners Deanna Keller remote and Commissioners Dick Marzano, John McCarthy, and Don Meyer in person. So we have a quorum. Our meeting is being held at the Fabulich Center and streamed live on the meeting page of the Port of Tacoma's website at www.portoftacoma.com. The commission will now recess into an OPMA exempt closed special order of business to discuss a labor collective bargaining agreement until 10:30 a.m. And following the closed special order of business, the commission will recess into a closed executive session to discuss two potential litigation items under RCW 42.30.110(1)(i) and one property leasing and potential litigation item under RCW 42.30.110(1)(c) and RCW 42.30.110(1)(i) and one evaluation of a public employee under RCW 42.30.110(1)(g).
Thank you, President Eng. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director of the Port of Tacoma. The factors allowed to be discussed during executive session that relate to real estate leasing are as follows: the size and zoning of the property, the distance from and connectivity to deepwater marine terminals, the creation for job potential and consistency with the port's strategic plan. The public session will resume at noon unless we extend it, and we will make an announcement to that effect if that happens.
Yep, the public session will resume at 12 p.m. We'll be back, folks. Good afternoon. I'm Commissioner President Kristen Eng. The time is now 12 p.m. We were in closed special order of business from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. to discuss an OPMA exempt labor collective bargaining agreement. 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., followed by a closed executive session from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. to discuss two potential litigation items, RCW 42.30.110(1)(i), one property leasing and potential litigation item, RCW 42.30.110(1)(c), and RCW 42.30.110(1)(i), and one evaluation of a public employee, RCW 42.30.110(1)(g). Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We acknowledge that we are on the traditional homelands of the Puyallup tribe of Indians. The Puyallup people have lived on and stewarded these lands since the beginning of time and continue to do so today. We recognize that this land acknowledgement is one small step towards true allyship, and we commit to uplifting the voices, experiences, and histories of the indigenous people of this land and beyond. We are now down to the approval of the agenda. Our first item is to approve today's agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make a change to our posted agenda? Commissioner Keller? Okay. Seeing no hands, today's agenda stands as posted. And now we have the Executive Director's report. Eric?
Thank you, Madam President. For the record, Eric Johnson, Executive Director of the Port. Just a couple of quick items to report. I'll start with mentioning this Wednesday, tomorrow, the Tacoma Pierce County Economic Development Board is having their annual meeting. I believe most of you will be attending. And the port has a table. They're going to be honoring Congressman Kilmer for his long service to the cause of economic development. And I encourage you to all attend if you're not going to come. And then the second item is that this Thursday at 5, the Chamber of Commerce is having their after-hours event at the port offices. And that's at 5 o'clock. They've got about 80 people RSVP'd, so I'd encourage you to attend the Chamber after hours if you can. And then finally, on Saturday, I had the pleasure of going down to Aberdeen, to the Port of Grays Harbor, to help send off the retirement celebration for Gary Nelson, the executive director of the Port of Grays Harbor. Many of you probably know him because of his long service in a couple of institutions. He served as the legislative chair for the Washington Public Ports Association for many, many years. He's also been president of the American Association of Port Authorities. He is retiring at the end of the month after a long career at the Port of Grace Harbor, and we wished him well. And if you get a chance, I know that he'd appreciate any kind of sentiment that you send his way. And with that, I will stop.
Okay. We will now invite public comment. I see that we have very special guests today here at the port. And we will extend that privilege, and there will be no time. The first one I'd like to invite is the Youth Marine Center, Tom Rogers and Bob Houston.
Thank you, Commissioner Hagan, very much. This, I would like to introduce to you our new director, executive director, Bob Houston. He comes from Metro Parks and a strong background in the recreation parks here locally. So I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to meet you all. I've got an opportunity to meet a number of you guys, and Eric had a number of different meetings and stuff around town. So I do have to come with a big thank you. I know Graham Johnson is here. Him and Joe Barantine came out, went on a trip with us in November, and did an absolutely incredible video that's out that you guys have produced. So huge kudos to those guys. They videotaped and interviewed and did a number of stuff with Sammy and Soda students that are out on our boat. So it's exciting to be here, exciting to work with you all. Like I said, I've got to meet Eric, and I've got to meet a number of the board. Deanna is on our board at the YMF, so it's pretty awesome. So yes, so thank you. Welcome. It's going to be fun.
Welcome, Bob. We look forward to working with you.
Questions? Are we good?
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
No. Just welcome.
Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you.
And now I call on the Daffodil Festival with Marissa Modestowitz. You can correct me if I got that wrong. And Queen Alejandra.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not as tall as him. Thank you so much to the Port of Tacoma for this amazing experience. I know we've had a huge history with you guys, and I want to thank you guys for the tour that we had. It was really fun and informative, so I'd like to thank that. And the big parade is coming up, and you have two of your commissioners who will actually be marching with the princesses, so I'm really excited for that. It'll be April 6th, and I hope to see you all there.
And last year, we graciously received some of the local economic funding from the Port of Tacoma, and we're so grateful for the continuous support. We love that our parade gets to bring together our community in four different cities all together to support our local businesses and our local economy. So we're very grateful for all that you do for our community, and we are excited to see this partnership continue to grow. She's a pin for ya.
Thank you.
What school do you go to?
Oh, what school?
What school?
QL High School.
Oh, okay, very good.
Awesome. Well, we will see you all on April 6th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you. Okay. Oh. All right. Let's see.
Commissioner, I have email.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Is there an email that we received?
Yes, for the record, Helen Hickman, clerk for the port. We received one email from Scott Lely regarding grants with the Environmental Protection Agency toward the Clean Ports Program. It was received through the public comment email on February 29, 2024. It was acknowledged and distributed to all commissioners at the time of receipts.
Thank you. And now, would anyone else in the audience like to make a statement that did not sign up? Okay, well, seeing none, this concludes the public comment portion of our meeting. Okay. And now we're on to our consent agenda. Items on consent agenda are considered routine and taken up by one motion and vote unless any commissioner requests an item be removed for individual consideration. The consent agenda consists of the approval of minutes from February 13th, 2024, February 21, 2024, February 27, 2024. Disbursement certifications during the period of 2/10/24 to 3/7/24, which includes check numbers 239487 to 239762, in the amount of $2,372,922.79. And electronic payments in the amount of $9,206,000 and $690.10, for a total of $11,579,691.89. Are there any requests to remove items from the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
I second.
This has been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner McCarthy. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Seeing none, we will be calling a roll for the vote today, since we do have Commissioner Keller joining remotely. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Commissioner Eng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Before we proceed to commission actions, I would like to mention a few housekeeping items to my colleagues. Please hold your questions until the end of staff presentations to ensure all commissioners have an equal opportunity to ask questions on a particular item unless otherwise requested by the chair. Please limit yourself to one question. You may ask other questions after all commissioners have had a chance to be heard. Please wait until you are recognized by the chair before speaking, and thank you for your consideration. We're now down to commission actions. This is the business section of the meeting where items are brought forth by commissioners or staff that require a commission vote. In Robert's rules, during discussion, members may request an amendment to any action item or resolution. Amendments require a motion and a second, with discussion following and a need at least three commissioners to pass. And we are down to project authorization for the Port of Tacoma Maritime Center. Here with us is Alyssa Praskovich and Stan Ryder.
All right, good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, Elise Praskovich, Chief Strategic Projects and Commission Relations. I'm pleased to be joined with Stan Ryder, our Senior Project Manager today, and we're gonna talk to you about project authorization increase and an amendment to the interlocal agreement related to the Maritime Center project.
Yeah, we're here to request project authorization in the amount of $7 million for a total authorized amount of $11,770,000 for work associated with the Port of Tacoma Maritime Skills Center and Port Maritime Center. That's master identification number 101549.01. We're also requesting authorization for the executive director to enter into a second amendment to the second interlocal agreement between the Tacoma Public School District and the Port of Tacoma to continue the previously established payment reimbursement process through 60% design.
The synopsis, recalling that organizational success foundational goal 4, that this project primarily supports the plan to design, construct a new port staff workspace that also provides spaces for community engagement and other mixed use opportunities. This phase of the project and the requested action today will fund the design development through 60% design, and then the second piece of this is the need to amend the second ILA to continue the current invoicing and payment procedures for this initial design build contract, taking the project through 60% design.
So we'll go through some background to catch everybody up. The interlocal agreement number one, we started this with Tacoma Public Schools in March 2023. To make an agreement to work together. ILA number two, which happened in August of 2023, continued the relationship and agreed to do a progressive design build procurement. Also in April of last year, cultural environmental studies were brought before the commission to authorize, and all that work has gotten completed in the cultural and environmental realm. We selected our design build team. That design build team is BNB Builders along with the TCF Architects. And that happened in August 2023. And then by October 2023, commission authorized 30% design funds and we launched into design. The design includes programming, site selection, initial community engagement, initial master planning, and all of that is gonna expected to be complete here in the next week or two. We had two special commission study sessions on February 13th and February 27th to provide information and gather your feedback on the approach to master planning, site development, and building design. So here's a view of the site. Approximately 20 acres exist on parcel 94. Only about a third of that is shown in this photo. The site features waterway frontage along the Wheeler-Osgood and Foss waterways. 5 acres of port parcel 92 exists to the left of the trees across the waterway. And for those of you watching at home, the Port of Tacoma has partnered with Tacoma Public Schools to develop a Port Maritime Center campus and a Maritime Skills Center on these parcels. And that will support future employment needs of the maritime logistics industry. And the Port Maritime Center will support the business operational needs with a new administration and commission space. So we'll head to the next slide. Master planning here is a part and a really important piece of the long-term vision. Parcel 92 on the south side of the Wheeler-Osgood waterway is an area of opportunity to develop. We also have an area of opportunity to develop in blue on the northeast corner up there. You can see the port buildings laid out, the port building and the school laid out and the parking lot laid out in this picture. One important area is known as the boot, and the boot is sensitive land to the Puyallup tribe of Indians with cultural significance. So we're continuing to work on concepts sensitive to the Puyallup tribe, and we're looking forward to continued engagement with the tribe. And the yellow on there are relevant adjacent properties. The new Maritime Center is hoped to spur discussion and investment or synergy with existing landowners. Moving on to the site plan. So this is how this will work. Where you see East 11th Place up there, that's really the where the Murray Morgan Bridge is coming down. So you would enter in that center of that parcel. On the left side would be the port parking, approximately 180 stalls. On the right side of that roundabout is 120 parking stalls or so for the school district, plus a bus drop-off area. Once you cross the tracks, you come into a big plaza, and on the left side, you'd have the Port Business Center. On the right side, you'd have the Maritime Skills Center for the district. This would connect to a pocket beach outside the plaza there, and there'd also be a dock along the Thea Foss waterway. So heading on to the next slide, a few programming notes. This is the building itself is expected to be 60,000 square feet. It's gonna have commission meeting space, not just for the Port of Tacoma commissioners, but for the Northwest Seaport Alliance commissioners. There would be a conference room and restrooms, as well as an expanded lobby. There'll be approximately room for 155 seats for staff, and reconfigurations would allow a 10% growth in staff. The commission space will also be used for all staff get-togethers, trainings, and town halls. Moving on to the early concept here on the next slide. One of the points of emphasis for this project is the connection to the community. The goal is that we have an accessible site and that the Maritime Center serves as the port's front door. The commission meeting space will be in the front of the building and easily accessible just off the lobby. Moving on to slide next one. The building is designed so employees and visitors alike can enjoy the views from the Wheeler-Osgood waterway, as well as views to the back to the city. Many of the common spaces and conference rooms are outward facing. The beauty of it is that the regular two-story building with a partial third story, the slanted roof hides the equipment necessary for air conditioning and other building controls, yielding an efficient use of square footage. And these images are courtesy of TCF Architects and BN Builders. So we'll head on to the scope for this request. Here, we're looking to advance design from the approximately the 30% level to the 60% level. In it, we have legal fees that we'll need for potential discussions with BNSF for the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Crossing. There's some legal fees for design build contract review and also for remediation cost recovery. Included are permitting costs for environmental site development. We're going to continue with the master planning, continue with the community engagement. March 21st, we host the Tacoma Chamber at the Port Building. March 26th and April 4th, we have community advisory community advisory tours on site. April 17th, we meet with the Community Advisory Committee again. And May 7th, there's an open house. We got to retain a commission agent, a commissioning agent, not a commission agent, but a commissioning agent. And then there's some staff time involved. Yeah, to make this whole thing go. So with the schedule, we're reaching the end of schematic design here, really at the end of next week. I think the drawings are being printed and they'll be sent over here shortly. Tacoma School Board will have done their thing on March 14th. And then the next big thing is to make a cost estimate from that 30% design and really start to hone in on the costs. Then design development is taking the project up to 60%. The big things coming up are we hope to be back in the summertime to get approval to do a site cleanup. That would be a guaranteed maximum price contract. And the environmental team is working hard to get all the details of that as they finish their analysis. We hope to, by August, September timeframe, come back to commission for approval of the guaranteed maximum price of the project. And environmental cleanup would go between August and November in this current schedule. After that, ground improvements would start. And yeah, the dates are still a little fuzzy. The district needs to have their school open July 2026. So we have a little more flexibility to finish up our building. Let's take a look at the cost ranges. Still a wide range of cost here. The building anticipated to be about 45 to 55 million. There are building site improvements. We have shoreline improvements to do. The environmental remediation, we're working hard to narrow that cost down. Offsite improvements include things like crosswalks and sidewalks that the city may require out on East 11th Place. There's a furniture, fixtures, and equipment budget, trying to figure out everything that's not bolted to the building. That's what that is. It's the conference room chairs and the cubicles. And then we add sales tax to the whole thing, which is not insignificant. And we have a total project cost still now in a range of 80 million to 110 million on the port funded side. We are in negotiations with the Tacoma Public Schools, and their contribution to build their portion of the site is in the neighborhood of 35 million to 41 million. And here's the financial summary. This request is for $7 million. We have we have made previous requests of $4.77 million, and that brings our total to $11.77 million. So there's still quite a bit of, there's still quite a bit to go in this project, but we're just moving along the path there. One note here is that the financial department did an analysis and they say we're good to go. Let's move on to the economic investment. Yeah, the Skills Center is really fabulous. It's gonna have 600 affiliated students, 300 in the morning, 300 in the afternoon, up to 25 staffers working there. And it's gonna be the hub of all the South Sound District skill programs. So we're super excited about that. We'll have about 150 of our own employees on site. And that will really energize the neighborhood there. So the alternatives really stop the project here at 30% and say it was a good effort, or alternative two, we feel like we have a path forward. We feel like there are issues and risks, but they're manageable, and that with perseverance, we can design through them and figure it out. So alternative two is the recommended course to push forward to 60%. Permitting, yes, every permit imaginable, city, state, and federal permits, close consultation, close coordination with the Puyallup tribe. Again, the cleanup action plan slated for this fall. Stormwater, we're working on some different stormwater concepts, but that will be all done to current code. And of course, air quality and sustainability. This will totally follow the port's policy of being carbon neutral by 2040. It will be in compliance with the Washington Clean Buildings Law. So lots of next steps. Continued coordination with the tribe. I listed the public engagement activities that were coming up soon. The lease, a big team working on the lease to agree with the terms and conditions with the district. Design is a big part of it going forward. Master planning, we have an active committee on that, moving that forward. Lots of progress this week on getting our railway crossing application together. And then Rob Healy will come back with the environmental analysis and ask commissions for funding to that effect. And then we'll submit the permits, continue on with design development, and then return to commission for additional authorization to fund the construction through a guaranteed maximum price contract. And I'll turn it over back to the chief, Chief Prestovich. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. So in order for you to authorize this to 60% design, we have to amend the second ILA. The second ILA that we entered into always envisioned the flexibility to go up from 30 to 60% design. So once again, a real quick walk through history. It was just about a year ago today where we all sat here and agreed to formalize the partnership and embark on this really cool project for our community. And then through August and October, you saw some amendments to the ILA to keep carrying the project forward, whether that's 30% design dollars, budget authorization to select the design build committee, et cetera. So what are we amending now? What changes and what does not? So what will change is that this ILA will extend the project through 60% design. This was always envisioned in the second ILA to have that flexibility. What won't change is that the current invoicing procedures will remain the same, the contract administration remains unchanged, and that we'll continue to do that equitable cost splitting exercise that we've been doing from the very beginning. And last, it also maintains the same parametrics not to exceed amount for the Port of Tacoma. Recalling that parametrics has been a critical partner down our path of progressive design build. This is really a nice schematic, more of a take home for yourselves as well as for members of the public, that puts everything together on one slide. So the "you are here" button up there is where we are today, phase two, and we're sitting before you to get authorization to go to 60% design while the contract administration and project management not to exceed amount remains the same. So for members of the public, this is probably the simplest diagram to piece all of that together. Back to you, Stan.
Oh, thank you. So we're here to request project authorization in the amount of $7 million for a total authorized amount of $11,770,000 for work associated with the Port of Tacoma Skills Center and the Port Maritime Center. That's master identification number 10-15-49.01. The second request is authorization for the executive director to enter into a second amendment to the second interlocal agreement between the Tacoma Public School District and the Port of Tacoma to continue the previously established payment reimbursement process through 60% design.
I call for a motion to approve. Thank you.
So I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner Mars It has been moved by Commissioner Marzano and seconded by Commissioner McCarthy. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Ng. Can we go to the site plan, please? One of the things that we embarked on initially was master planning for our two sites on both sides of the waterway. Mm-hmm. And what I see in front of us here has more of a project feel rather than a master plan. And the master plan to me, I think Stan, you made the reference, or someone made the reference, connection to the community. And when I see on the esplanade, I'll call that little piece between the buildings and the waterway, and then I see a circle that says it stops. That's a project to me. And where I'm coming from is I know that's the boot, and I know that, you know, unless somebody's made some promises to the tribe, what I'm after is showing the full development of the esplanade coming through that site. And also the interest I have is making certain that that site is cleaned up. After all, we're gonna have a school right next door. My priority is cleaning up that site consistent with what the scope is, I assume, of what we're approving today for cleanup on the project site. So I'm really struggling with a master planning element that I don't think is complete in this project. And I would like for you to give some thought to expanding that site plan as you go forward. And again, my priority is connecting to the community and being clear about cleaning up the entire site. Don't delay cleaning up on that site, as far as I'm concerned. So that's my comment. And the other, I'll make one other comment. Scope of this request. Could you go to the chart? Scope.
Let's see. In terms of the synopsis or?
I thought there was a scope of this request.
Right there.
Oh, yeah, right here. What's a commissioning agent?
Yeah, a commissioning agent is someone who gets involved in design and represents the owner. And that person's job is to make sure all the controls in the building integrate properly. So it's gonna be HVAC, it's gonna be the air conditioning, the fire alarm system, it's gonna be anything that the lighting controls, all of those kind of higher tech now, specialized systems. That's something that the commissioning agent helps make sure in design that it's all gonna work together. And then in construction to make sure the stuff all works. So that's called a commissioning agent. We don't use them much, the port projects, because we're not doing buildings. We're not doing new buildings. So it's a third party that assists the owner side.
Okay, I think that makes sense. I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. The other piece, very quickly, and I'll stop. You know, the $7 million, can you describe how you arrived at $7 million?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have a real responsibility here as an individual commissioner, making certain that while we're all supportive of this project and want to move it forward, I got to ask, you know, this is a big price tag we got going here.
Yeah. No, it's a good question.
What's the basis for this $7 million?
Yeah. No, really good question. We're looking at potentially $110 to $150 million overall project. And with the Tacoma School District, we've agreed on a 70% to 30% split. The other important point on the design is about 10% of the overall project cost. And at this phase, that's about, I think we were down to $8 million, and about $5 million of that is design fees on the port side, $5.5 million. And then we did have some lawyer costs, a lot of staff time, the commissioning agent, and some permitting costs thrown in there. So it did add up.
So I'll stop there. Thank you.
Commissioner McCarthy?
First of all, Ms. Paskovich, very good job and all your leadership, and as I appreciate, and you've kept us all informed throughout, so thank you very much. And I see there are other members of the design team here, as well as Tacoma School District folks. Did the Tacoma School District on March 14th approve? I'm seeing a nodding of head here.
Unanimously.
Okay, and I know that this team that we're working with is, you know, very experienced in building schools and things of that nature. This is kind of an unusual step, two different governments coming together to do this, and I certainly, although it's got its challenges, I certainly hope that you've all found it to be as exhilarating and interesting and challenging as we are, because we really do see this as constructing iconic buildings that are just going to benefit the community more than just their footprint would show. And I guess I do need to say, I know we've had internal meetings and work sessions where we've discussed the work that you're doing, and I think this is probably the first time in public we've had an opportunity to comment on, for example, the design of the buildings. And I think it's beautiful, and it's brilliant, and I think it's going to be iconic. So my hat's off to that. I always, as a board member, I kind of look at the numbers and like, oh, are we getting in over our head here? We're a small port district, relatively speaking, but I'm really pleased with the work that's been done. We've taken a lot of steps over the last year. Started out with baby steps. Well, this is a big step today, a big, big step. And the steps are gonna even get bigger and more complicated, but hats off to all of you on this team that have put this together so far. I'm happy to support this.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Commissioner Marzano?
Yeah, thank you. I echo what Commissioner McCarthy just said. I think it's brought us forth right now to this stage where I'm quite excited. With regards to what Commissioner Meyer said, and I agree with that too, with regards to the cleanup possibilities and the boot, I think we need to, when we do meet with the Puyallup tribe, look, and us among us five commissioners, look at how we want that to be developed in consultation with the tribe to reflect their heritage and what they have done. So I think that's important on our part, but I am very excited about this project, looking forward to it. I saw the completion dates, and it'd be nice if we could complete them during the summer on both projects, even though I know that might be tough, because projects usually end up going longer than what you anticipate originally, but I'm very excited about this.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Commissioner Keller, did you have any comments or questions?
Yes, of course, I'm extremely excited about it. In fact, if you look, I'm going to send you a react button, as this is what I think about this. To the big heart. So, very excited, and it's great to be able to work with the school district, and I think that it's just a great designation of what we do here in Pierce County is we collaborate with our local governments, and we produce really great things by doing that. For the public we serve. Thank you.
Personally, I am thrilled about this collaboration and the progress that has been made these past couple years with regards to this maritime center. I do believe that it will define the Tide Flats as well as our city and region, considering that there will be numerous students and a lot more people. And I do agree with Commissioner Meyer here, as much public access as we can possibly put into this space and think bigger. Even though I don't think of us as a small port, John. I actually think we are like world class. So I did like the fact that this building looks good and that we have this collaboration that brings more opportunity, innovation, and nurturing, you know, our talent for the region. And it's possible because we have been making these partnerships with the school district and coordination with the tribe, which we obviously need to do more of to further this project. And so thank you so much. I do love the guidelines. When I see things like 2024, 2026, 25, 26, those are kind of the deadlines I like to see. Months, dates, finances, because it makes me feel like this will be complete and it will be great. So thank you so much for your work there. I see Tacoma Public Schools here. Thanks for attending. And did you have?
Well, I guess there was one comment that, yeah, that I did want to make and I didn't make, and I apologize for that. And that is, I just want to say thank you to the Tacoma School District. For those of us that have been on this commission for quite some time, we dreamed about the Maritime Center. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, I'm absolutely convinced it's the Tacoma School District that helped us push us forward relative to this particular site. So my hat's off to the Tacoma School District. And my firm belief is this is a facility that we have heard making a reference to a skill center that can serve the needs, the broad needs of our community. And for those of us that live quite a ways in the hinterland of Pierce County, this is really important. So hats off to Tacoma School District. Look forward to working in a cooperative way. But Eric, we got to have more master planning happening here because this is a lot of money. So that's my comment.
Okay. With no further questions, comments, or amendments, Helen, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Eng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we are on to 5B, Resolution 2024-2-PT Master Benefit and Salary Resolution Technical Correction with Jean West, Jenny Ann Kalin, and Trisha Perez.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Jean West, Chief Human Resources Officer.
Trisha Perez, Manager of Human Resources.
Jenny Ann Kalin, Manager of Human Resources.
We're here today to request the adoption of the Resolution 2024-02-PT as amended, which supersedes any and all master benefit style resolutions, including Resolution 2024-02-PT. The Port of Tacoma Commission is authorized by RCW 53.08.170 to create and fill positions, establish salary ranges, and establish benefits for its employees by resolution. The MBSR is the resolution where the commission charges the executive director with the administration of the benefit side programs for non-represented employees, including the administrative details. The commission approved Resolution 2024-02-PT on February 21st, 2024. Subsequently, inadvertent omissions were brought to our attention that are now included in the amended Resolution 2024-02-PT, which also includes some additions to align with the NWSA MBSR. Here's an overview of the changes. We added commissioners to the eligibility definitions of the following benefit programs. Section 2D1, Volunteer Employees Beneficiary Association, VEBA. Section 2D2, Deferred Compensation 457. Section 2F1, Life and Accidental Death and Dismemberment Insurance. Section 2A, we clarify that the executive director is authorized to amend benefits as required by statutory requirements, and that the ED and the chief human resources officer will provide advance notice to commission of any program changes. Section 2C1, the eligibility clause for healthcare benefits was moved to HR policy procedure, and we added eligible dependents for clarity. Section 2C2, we clarify with the opportunity to elect to remain with post-employment defined benefit plan occurred and that it is closed to new participants. Section 2D1 added specific reference to the VEBA 5 plan. Section 2D3, we clarify eligibility dates of the 401A plan and that is closed to new participants. Section 2E1, added language on payout of unused accrued vacation upon termination. Section 2E4, we added language on payout of unused accrued sick leave upon termination. Section 2E8B, we included NWSA issues to reasons for subpoenaed witness leave. In conclusion, we're asking for adoption of Resolution 2024-02-PT as amended, which supersedes any and all master benefit and salary resolutions, including Resolution 2024-02-PT. Thank you. Any questions?
I move we approve. I second.
Okay, it has been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner McCarthy. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments? Commissioner Meyer.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just want to say thank you for your time and extra effort on this and the clarifications you're providing. You spent some time with myself and Commissioner McCarthy trying to make certain we understood the changes. And I'm very pleased to see that at least there's that advance notice to the commission of any changes in the program. So a big thank you. Thank you, Eric, for reaching out to us.
Commissioner
Yeah,
Madonna.
I just have a quick comment. I want to make sure people understand that this is not a resolution that's adding new benefits for commissioners. This is strictly to define what we've always had, just in clearer terms of all it is.
It's clarification.
Yeah,
that is correct.
But I want to make sure that people, public or whatever, hey, what did the heck did the commissioners get for what they did or something? This is something that was always there, so.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Keller, do you have any questions or comments?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, well, seeing no other questions or comments, clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Ng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay. We're now down to a special order of business. Let's see, the proclamation 2024-02-PT, Women's History Month and International Women's Day. I will read this proclamation recognizing Women's History Month and International Women's Day. Okay, whereas International Women's Day has been observed since 1911 as an occasion to learn from, well, I'll request for a motion first. Request approval of the proclamation.
I move we approve the proclamation.
I'll second the motion.
It has been moved by Commissioner Meyer and seconded by Commissioner McCarthy. And now I will read the proclamation. Whereas International Women's Day has been observed since 1911 as an occasion to learn from past struggles to help focus efforts on ending gender discrimination, and whereas Women's History Month had its origin as a national celebration in 1981, when Congress authorized requested the President to proclaim the week beginning March 7, 1982 as Women's History Week. And whereas since 1995, presidents have issued a series of annual proclamations designating the month of March as Women's History Month. And whereas women have fought for justice, shattered barriers, built and sustained economies, carried communities through times of crisis, and served with dignity and resolve. But too often, they have done so while being denied the freedom, full participation, and equal opportunity all women are due. And whereas currently, there are women serving locally in leadership positions, inspiring the continued work in advancing the rights, opportunities, and full participation of women and girls of all backgrounds. And whereas Women's History Month and International Women's Day celebrate the collective power of women, pays tribute to their achievements, and recognizes the remaining challenges to further efforts for women's rights and gender equality, encouraging and mobilizing all people to contribute for positive change. Now, therefore, the Port of Tacoma recognizes March 2024 as Women's History Month and March 8, 2024 as International Women's Day, and calls upon the people of Pierce County to recognize the achievements and many contributions of women to our community, our nation, and our world. And I'm gonna add our port, because I do thank all the women that work for us, very strong, powerful women that work for the port. So thank you so much. comments. Commissioner Keller, do you have any comments online?
Of course I do. I think that it's important not only to acknowledge the fact that it's been a long time coming for women. Women retained the right to vote not very long ago, and if a lot of you remember that. But I especially want to congratulate the people who were in the maritime industry. In fact, if all the women in the room who are working in the maritime industry, including the port, if they could just stand up and be recognized and thanked for all that they do.
Go ahead. Please.
Stand up.
Thank you.
Well, seeing no other questions or comments, clerk, please call the roll.
Commissioner Eng.
Aye.
Commissioner Keller.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarthy.
Aye.
Commissioner Marzano.
Aye.
Commissioner Meyer.
Aye.
Carries.
All right. Women roll. Anyway, new business. I don't see anything. I guess we're down to issues briefing. The Center for Urban Waters Endowed Chair update.
Afternoon, and thanks for the invitation to come back and speak with you again. It's been a few years, and I realize I'm the last person on your agenda. So, as an academic, last on your agenda.
The sun's shining.
Message received. So, what I would like to do over the next 10 or 15 minutes is just review a little bit about what I've been up to over the 15 years now that I've been living in Tacoma and working at the Center for Urban Waters. Very proud of the group that we have in our building down at the other end of the FOSS. And hearing about your plans for the other end of the FOSS gets me doubly excited. As I think 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the port, the city, the university got together around the idea of urban waters. We built the building down there with this vision that there'd be others coming. So I'm glad to see that if you wait long enough, things happen. I'm very excited about having another anchor at the far end for us to collaborate with. With that, let me just give a little bit of a brief history of the partnership between the Port of Tacoma and the University of Washington Tacoma. A little bit of just a snapshot look at my program, and then I wanted to highlight three specific examples that I think speak to the value that we bring to this region. I'll start with the history. This is a lot of words that I'm going to expect you to read it, but this is taken verbatim from a report from a community group that was formed in the early 2000s. This is a committee report from 2003. Where they finally landed on a mission statement for what was then called the Tacoma Marine Science Center. As those who write mission statements know, sometimes it takes a while to land on something. And it took a while for the community to realize that the marine science made sense for the common mission between the city, the port, and the university. And I just wanted to highlight the words that were down below, and the things in yellow are what really kind of drive the work that we do at Urban Waters. And kind of are my marching orders. Scientific studies for sure, but not just science for science sake. Identifying critical urban bay problems, develop solutions, facilitate restoration and development of urban waterways. Sharing the information with policymakers. A big part of what we do is work with policymakers, and so we better understand what their issues are and try to get science into a form that they can use to make better decisions. Developing, coordinating, and sharing ongoing research findings is obvious to an academic, but really working within the community to make sure that the work that we do at Urban Waters is locally relevant is important to us. And then finally, fostering stewardship of the Tide Flat area and all of our region. The Port of Tacoma Endowed Chair, which I hold at the University of Washington Tacoma, was created with a generous contribution from the port, the city, SSA Marine, back in the early 2000s, created by an MOU between UW-Tacoma and the port, and a second MOU between UW-Tacoma and the city, and is guided by the Urban Waters Advisory Board. And we've been fortunate to have strong leadership from Commissioner McCarthy and others from the port over the years serving on that board. And I was recruited to take the first shot at the chair position, which seems like a few weeks ago, but in fact, a long time ago. And I just want to say that, you know, the idea of Urban Waters is really precipitated by the pride of this community in cleaning up the Foss Waterway and cleaning up this area. And I think that the idea behind Urban Waters is, let's not repeat the mistakes of our past. Let's cost a lot of money to clean something up. Let's make sure that we keep it clean, keep it vibrant, and we move forward. So a little bit about what we do and who we are. Most of what we do at the Center for Urban Waters from the university's perspective is under the umbrella of the university's Puget Sound Institute that I direct. And the institute was created to do three specific things. We spend a lot of time, as I mentioned earlier, getting science into a form that policymakers can find usable. We like to say actionable and timely. It doesn't really do any good to have the right answer 5 years after the decision's made. So we spend a lot of time with that. We, of course, conduct research. We develop new tools, things of that nature. And then we have a really strong communications group to get the messages out. We've grown from, I like to say, to my university colleagues, we started with an empty lot at a Superfund site, and now we have 27 full-time employees at UW Tacoma, about $4 million budget in our space within the Center of Urban Waters. Again, the building is owned by the City of Tacoma. We lease space in a partnership with them. So we've grown from myself and a half-time admin person to 27 people, and that's my full-time job, is keeping them all happy. The main mission really is to strengthen this relationship to support science and policy. We do a lot of work convening scientific conversations on emerging environmental challenges. We try to look ahead. We try to, you know, help policymakers think about the current problems, but really also try to think about emerging problems and how to avoid issues in the future. Sharing relevant, timely, independent scientific analysis with decision makers. And importantly, practically build the trust, collaboration, and leadership that is needed to solve these really gnarly environmental issues in our region. We're actively engaged with a very interesting project called the Collaborative Leadership Project, where we're conducting oral histories of now up to about 60 leaders from the region, and really ask the question, like, how did you solve these really hard problems? How did you work through the issues around salmon, around working with the tribes, around climate change, around spotted owls? How did that work? And we're trying to learn that and understand that so that we can teach our future leaders those skills. So three specific examples very quickly of the kinds of things that we're up to, and I won't go into any details at all. We're really good at measuring consumer chemicals in the environment, and we can drive people nuts by detecting tens of thousands of chemicals in the environment. We have really good analytical instruments that can do that. So what? What does that mean? This, you can't read it on the map. This is the concentration of sucralose in water in Puget Sound. Sucralose is artificial sugar. So if you drink any diet soda or anything, that's what the stuff is. It's in the water, who cares, right? We need to have ways of figuring out which of those thousands of chemicals are important and may be causing problems, and which ones are just curiosities, right? So we're working with UW Computer Science and Microsoft in developing some artificial intelligence techniques to really sort through the haystack of chemicals in the environment and say, what's really important? Which ones should we be focused on? And we're doing this to allow regulatory and voluntary source reduction programs to be much more strategic and effective. History has been we've taken one chemical at a time, tried to fix the copper problem, fix the lead problem. And the reality is we'll never get there doing it that way. Second one I wanted to highlight was our work on shoreline armoring. We've been involved with state agencies and tribes and others on this issue of shoreline armoring for a number of years. The issue, as you are well aware, is much of the shoreline of Puget Sound has been armored over the last 100 years or so to prevent erosion and allow access. This destroys critical habitat. Good work is being done in Washington State to develop different approaches, so-called soft shore approaches, so that you can have the benefits of an engineered system to prevent erosion, but also the benefits of habitat for the fish. So these techniques are available. We took it to the next step to say, you know, who's going to pay for that? It's a really expensive thing. It can't be very expensive. A lot of the land is privately held. So how do we actively incentivize landowners and provide financing for that? And we've helped working with the state agencies to develop a science-based shore-friendly revolving loan fund. In essence, our role at the Puget Sound Institute, PSI up on the screen there, was to do the technical analysis of the work and really ask the question, what would it take to get a rigorous shoreline armoring program in Washington State where the shorelines were selectively being softened while maintaining that benefit? So we, that analysis showed that we needed really a financial incentive model in order to do that. We've helped, we've worked with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to develop a loan program. We did a feasibility study for like how would a loan program work. I won't go into the details of it, but here's the report of it. We looked at all these various aspects using university social scientists and economists in this work. And at the end of the day, we were able to help the state stand up a loan program, which has been capitalized now, to basically have a revolving loan fund so shoreline homeowners can afford to do the right thing for their for the environment while maintaining and protecting their properties using a revolving loan fund. So this is an example, and I bring this out because this is an example of not just doing science for science sake, but pushing it all the way into a new program that benefits the citizens of the state and improves habitat for the fish. And then finally, I just wanted to highlight a really exciting development over the last three or four years, and that's in workforce development, specifically in increasing training opportunities for engineers in Tacoma. With strong support from the port and others in the community, the University of Washington Tacoma has launched both mechanical and civil engineering undergraduate degree programs. We will graduate our first mechanical engineering cohort in a month or so, and civil engineering is 1 year behind. And that's a big step forward for the University of Washington Tacoma. The demand for mechanical and civil engineers is off the charts high. I mean, I've just never seen that much demand. Our students, our juniors are getting job offers. It's like, no, wait, you gotta finish your degree.
Stick around.
Stick around, you have to get your license. Don't jump the gun there. And I'll leave, and just to say, one of the coolest things, that I've been an academic for over 30 years. One of the coolest things that's ever happened was about 6 months ago, our advisory board for civil engineering came to us and said, we think you should teach a course in port engineering. And we all said, we don't know anything about port engineering. And they said, well, we do. We'll teach the class for you. So we just finished last week teaching a course called TCE 490 Port and Marine Infrastructure for Engineers. I was the nominal instructor, but frankly, the local engineering community and some port commissioners and port staff taught the course. Our students spent Thursday afternoons with actual real world engineers who go outside and like do engineering, not academics. They loved it. It was just a fabulous thing. And it shows how the community can really help invigorate and accelerate the development of curriculum at the UW Tacoma, which is very important. So thanks to Commissioner Ang for kicking us off with Director Howard, and Stan and Brett came a couple weeks ago and wrapped up. So we have very active participation in the port. The whole idea here was to get the students to understand that port engineering is not just regular civil engineering. There's some different stuff that goes on in ports, and we need to train them. Okay, last slide. Where are we going from here in terms of collaboration between the University of Washington Tacoma and the port? I've been in conversations with your group here, specifically Rob Healy, on so reinvigorating a partnership with several parties to design and execute the next phase of the Hylobos water cleanup. And we have some innovative chemical and methods that we think will, that we've pioneered at UW Tacoma, that we think will really help us move forward in this effort. Specifically, I think you all have done, and around the country, I've been involved in this a long time, we're really good at cleaning up specific sites for specific problems. They're expensive, it takes a long time, but we know how to do that. What we don't know how to do is how to clean up at the watershed scale when you've cleaned up like the obvious problems, but there's still residual problems. And we need to think much more creatively and holistically how to do that. So I'm excited about working with the port staff and others kind of taking a different approach and using some new tools to have a more effective cleanup of the residual contamination in the Hylobos. So with that, I will stop talking and be glad to take any questions you have. Thank you.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just very, first of all, thank you for all that you have done. It's 16 years, but a lot has been accomplished and stuff. With regard to the soft shore and the private ownership, there's a program place. Have they participated in that through the state, help them funding it? I mean, has there been good participation?
It's starting to pick up speed. I think it's a lot of word of mouth. You know how these things start. Somebody has to be sort of an early adopter of it. We were able to, you know, our role in this was really identifying not so much the financial part, but the risk reduction that came from the financing.
Right.
And this was really, and this was targeted mostly at private landowners. Yeah, I think there's certainly some, there's places where it works well, and it's kind of obvious, it's like, this makes sense all around, and they do that. There's other sites that are,
A little bit, yeah.
Doesn't pencil out quite as well, and those are a little bit more challenging. But okay. I think having the program stood up and having a permanent home in the state agency provides that confidence that's going to continue.
Good. Thank you.
Commissioner McCarthy?
Oh, yes, just a, you covered a whole lot of ground there, and appreciate it, Joel, but I had some of the original documents when this was created, and actually the first memorandum of understanding for the endowed chair position with the Port of Tacoma goes back to 2005. And at that time it was signed by Tim Farrell and Patricia Spakes was the chancellor, and then you came on board in 2008. And then Kurt Beckett, I know when I started on the advisory board, and Jim Waldo continues to kind of be the chair of the advisory board, and he reached out to me to see if I was interested and started that. We began working in 2018 with Kurt Beckett and then with Jason Jordan, who's here, who is staff person to update the memorandum of understanding between the port and the university. And so that's something I'm turning over to Chair Ang, as she's assuming that role on the advisory committee. But yeah, the work's expanding all the time. It seems to be expanding. And you're, since 2008, your tenure has been long and hard, and you've certainly seen the growth. So good to work with you, and look forward to many more efforts at collaboration between the port and the university.
Thank you, Commissioner. I really appreciate that. I moved here from the East Coast because when I moved out here on the interview, I met port commissioners and others from the community, and the enthusiasm and the get it done aspect of this is just fantastic, and I wanted to be part of that. It hasn't wavered. And I'm super excited about your new partnership with Tacoma Public Schools. I feel like the next big step around here, and it's gonna be huge for the city.
Yeah. Commissioner Meyer?
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Dr. Baker, well, I liked your comment on keeping it clean. Mm. Once we cleaned it up, because for some of us, we've been working for a long time and a lot of years relative to cleaning up Commencement Bay and our waterways. And so I appreciate that emphasis. But I also think that oftentimes when I think about cleaning up Puget Sound in a bigger sense, there seem to be a lot of entities between the trustees and the Puget Sound Partnership and the Center for Urban Waters and a whole bunch of other. And I thought you made a good point about the collaboration piece mm-hmm. to this. But how do you work with other entities that have almost the same mission relative to cleaning up the waterway?
Yeah.
And cleaning up the water Puget Sound. And so how do you coordinate with some of those other entities?
So I would our specific role at Urban Waters through the Puget Sound Institute is to be the science organization, and importantly to be the third party science organization. So you know, every other organization, they have scientists that work for them. But I think we have the luxury of being sitting within the university. Frankly, we can call balls and strikes, I think, better than others. We have access to the information that others don't have. So I think we do spend a lot of time coordinating with state, federal, tribal organizations that are involved in the cleanup. But I think our specific role is we're the third party that comes in. We do technical analysis of the issue and come in with that technical analysis. And that's how we support the program. And we don't make policy, we don't make decisions, we support them.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Keller, do you have any comments from online?
She logged off.
Oh, that's right, she's going off. Okay, well then, I guess it'll just be me then. Well, thank you, Dr. Baker, for the presentation. I had a couple questions. I was wondering if the Urban Waters also had a connection or will have a connection to the urban issues port lab or innovation lab that UWT is thinking about with Ali Modaris. Dr. Modaris.
I must say, I'm embarrassed to say I'm not aware of that program.
Okay.
I will find out more and get back to you.
Okay. And then, well, I am looking forward to more collaboration with Urban Waters and then Tacoma Public Schools and our port. Trying to figure out this whole about tires and other things that we could do on the Hyalur Post. And I guess my second question, besides that comment, is do you, in terms of Urban Waters and your students, have they taken a look at the OxyChem issue? Or like have made the comments or anything like that?
No, you know, we don't really get involved in sort of commenting on specific sites and specific actions. We've come in and helped the port on, again, reviewing technical documents. My cursory understanding, I mean, it's an extraordinarily difficult site. It's probably one of the toughest sites in the country. So it's not for lack of trying. It's just the physics chemistry is just really hard. I think the plan that's put forth is as good as you can do. I think, you know, there's what we're looking at here, and I think we're, the role that we play, not to go on too long, but less involved in like site-specific cleanup actions, more interested in, and I think we contribute more to the issue of once all those sites are cleaned up, and as we learn more about different chemicals, we learn more about sort of sublethal, you know, effects, the thresholds of concern keep getting lower and lower and lower. So figuring out how to manage these urban waterways when you no longer have one or two like obvious point sources, but you have all of us are contributing to it, and how you manage that is kind of where the role that we play.
Okay, because I thought maybe the universities had classes and they taught something about the history of some of these contaminations, whether that's a Sarco or whether that's the OxyChem site. Because when I went to the UWT library on the way to another speaking engagement, there was a big binder that said Occidental and OxyChem right there. For, I was like, do students really point at that big folder and binder and actually read it? Or maybe there's a class about it. And so I was curious if there was any connection to your program.
We don't teach a specific class in Oxy. I could. I'm sure you don't want to take it. It's more of an overview. You know, we touch on the principles in the classes. We don't use that as a case study in that particular section.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we are down to commissioner comments and announcements. Are there any? Can I
just very quickly, March Madness, in case anybody doesn't know what that is. That's all.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nothing.
Okay, Commissioner.
Yes, thank you very much. And in fact, thank you, Commissioner Eng, talking about OxyChem. It's my understanding, Eric, that the comments on OxyChem cleanup program, you have to have comments in by the end of March.
That's correct. We've drafted a letter from staff that I'll send to you this week.
I would appreciate if yeah, you could circulate that before it's
just
sent.
We've just finished up. I just made my edits yesterday, and we'll get it to you here in the next day or two.
Yeah,
it's relatively short. But as I mentioned earlier, we have additional conversations with Oxy outside of the four walls of the Department of Ecology, because they are going to be needing access to our property to implement some of their cleanup. And so we're going to be able to have some negotiations with them. And I've got some thoughts on what that might look like, and I'll share them with you.
And I recognize our relationship is very different than just commenting. But I think it's important that we know what those comments are going to be. Thank you. That's all.
Just so you know, I my personal goal is to see if we can get some kind of use on top of that. I don't want that to just be a big vacant square for the next 100 years, if possible. I'd really like to see some use put to that property by somebody, because I think it's a shame that it's sitting there like it is.
It's waterfront property, the ability to put it to good use. I think that's one of our key roles here in the Tide Flats.
Yeah, it's got utilities. Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, I guess I'll just make an announcement like Eric did about the EDB's annual meeting tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. in which our Director Johnson will give a speech and present an award to Congressman Kilmer for all his help and service to our region as well as to economic development for our ports. And then on Thursday, March 21st, the Port of Tacoma will be hosting the Chamber After Hours at 5 p.m. at our administrative building, so everyone is welcome. I'm assuming there's free drinks and food, so that's a draw. And then I did want to say that I was honored to speak at the World Ocean Summit in Lisbon to highlight the Port of Tacoma's work in terms of environmental initiatives and decarbonization. So it's all out there that, you know, and I also mentioned that we won the Oscars of the Cleanup World, which did get a laughter from the audience. So I must say the Port of Tacoma is out there on the world stage. And thank you very much. And the time is now 1:14, and that concludes us for the day.